يا والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها تبيلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one whose mercy, kindness, love, knowledge, and the rest of his traits are there for the people who believe, the people who trust in him, the people who ponder, the ones who have intellect. Searching for those traits, for them, this universe becomes a place of worship. And the one who are utilizing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to us to get to know him, then the place or this universe or this world becomes love and la'ab. It becomes something which is purposeless. It becomes something which is just a game. It becomes a pageantry. It becomes a drama. It becomes a movie where people act as a father, they act as mothers, they act as sisters, brothers, IT professionals, sons, daughters, and the rest of the acts that we do with the roles that we play. To be able to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need guidance and we need knowledge by the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have come and given us the information that if they had not done that, we would not be able to, even after 10,000, a million or a billion years of technological advancements, we would have not been able to come to that information, that knowledge. When it comes to the technology or the information around us, we get really in awe about it. Right? Like when the, because what I have with me is, I have my elders, I have the middle-aged, I have, you know, my brothers that are 6, 7 years old, a little bit older. So I have all of these different levels that are my audience, and I need to give to everybody something that they can take. So if all of them just takes even one thing, is enough. Okay, is enough for the acceptance of this particular worship and the effort that you've placed. So when the new phone comes out, right, the 6S that came out, I think, the Samsung 6S, it came out, you know, people were in awe. And being in awe, they would line up for 2 days and try to get that phone. And they would look at that technology and say, you know, 13 megabits or MP camera and 5 back, 13 front, 5 or 8, and this kind of chip in there, and you know, all of this screen with all of this resolution and with all of these apps and all of these sensors, it can take your heartbeat, it can do your heart rate, it can measure the UV around you, it can do all of these things, and it's like, wow. Do you know that all of the sciences that we have today, the chemistry, the physics, the mathematics, every single thing, calculus, that you are studying in universities, the authors that they learned from in the universities, in the Western universities, were from Muslims. For 200 years, the books that were taught in medicine, the authors were Muslims. If you were to go back in history and take a look at all of these sciences, the people who wrote the books and taught, they were all Muslims. And as you go further back in history, what you will get is the fifth Imam and the sixth Imam, Imam Bakr alayhi salatu wasalam and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you had gone anywhere, just come back to me for just 2 minutes and think about this point. So chemistry, the narrator of chemistry goes back to the 5th or the 6th Imam. The narrator of physics goes back to the 5th or 6th Imam. Calculus, right, finite, biology, all of these, they go back to the narrator is 5th Imam or the 6th Imam. With me? Did the 5th Imam or the 6th Imam have any teachers? No. So you have all of this, these sciences in your universities. You go through the different laws that have been there. You know, the law of gravity, the law of action and reaction, opposite reaction. Like all of these laws that you study in any science, these laws that this person made this law, discovered this law, right? Newton's law. Who discovered it? Newton did, right. Okay. So Newton discovered it. So you said this law of Newton is from Newton, right? You go back through this chain and you see certain individuals. Okay, why don't you go further back? Why don't you go further back? If you go further back, what you will find is the students of the 5th or the 6th Imam being their teachers. That when Newton, he didn't come out from the mother's womb as Newton, right? He went to some sort of schooling, some sort of process of education with teachers, a university, a textbook. Yes or no? But all of these people, they had teachers, and then those teachers had other teachers, and the whole chain goes back to the 5th or the 6th Imam. And the 5th or the 6th Imam did not have a teacher. Where did they get this knowledge? It was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That knowledge was packaged in revelation. It was inspired to the Holy Prophet. And the Holy Prophet inspired Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ali inspired Imam Hassan al-Hussein, Ali ibn al-Hussein, and Muhammad ibn Ali, Imam Bakr alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ja'far ibn Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So if you keep going back of these knowledge, all of these sciences that we have, it actually goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. But all of this knowledge that was revealed to the Holy Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got tainted by people. As you see Quran being revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Holy Prophet being infallible. Quran which has not changed for the last 1437 odd years. But people's understanding, their minds, their souls, their hearts tainted that knowledge. Right? The Prophet's traditions, which are also pure, infallible. The words that the Prophet said, they are in the same capacity as the Quran, as long as Prophet had said it. But if somebody comes along and narrates that Prophet ﷺ said such and such, well, this is not the saying of the Holy Prophet, and that saying is not infallible. And that saying can be challenged. True? When you think about chemistry, physics, and all of these sciences, you put them in the worldly science. What I'm trying to tell you is that these sciences have been given to mankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mankind has utilized this knowledge, whether it was the knowledge of Quran, whether it was the knowledge of fiqh, ahkam, sharia, whatever knowledge it was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to human beings, they corrupted it. So now, when you are in university, are you a religious science student? Or you are a bachelor of science student? I don't know what degree you guys have. What kind of student are you? Were you with me with all of the 1 plus 2, 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4, and 3 plus 3 is 6? Were you with me? If you're in university and you're studying these sciences, are you a student of religious sciences or are you a student of secular sciences? What are you? With the introduction I gave you, religious sciences. We don't consider ourselves to be the students of religious sciences when we go to university to study our bachelor or master's degree. But if somebody wants to go to the Hausa, then we say, yes, this person is a student of religious sciences. In reality, both of those knowledge, whether it is the knowledge about the Quran, about a hadith, about tafsir, about fiqh, all of that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so does all of the sciences, knowledge goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The laws of physics are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man did not make the laws of physics. If man did, it is man observed, man thought, man got taught. And now that law of physics, a man comes and says, this is the law of Newton. Baba, Newton didn't make this law. Somebody did. If you throw a ball with the same amount, it's going to bounce back. Who made that law? Newton didn't make it. Electricity was not, you know, made by that particular person. He discovered it. He was flying a kite one day, and it had a key there, and all of a sudden, you know, electricity. You know that the bulb that was first discovered is in the museum somewhere in America, and it's still lit. It doesn't fuse. If they were to give us those bulbs, the whole industry would go down. Right? The batteries that were first made, they're still running. They have the knowledge to give us the battery that never needs charging. That never goes, you know, kaput. But then you don't have people buying their AAAs and, you know, AAs batteries or chargers and so forth. Then what has man done with this knowledge? What man has done is manipulated it with the same dirt and same impurity and the same world that is that ugly, based on greed, on jealousy, on arrogance inside, to manipulate this knowledge for that world, which projects outside as injustice, as poverty. A person who is muwahhid should understand that the world that they live in is the world where it is all a bunch of sciences and signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the task of that person is utilize all of those tools to build that world inside where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty is the ruler. This is the shape, one of the shapes of Tawheed that Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saved. That just if you are saying that I believe in Allah with your tongue is not enough. Ad-deenu abidu, an-nasu abidu dunya. You can read it here. The people are the slaves of this world. Whose slave are we supposed to become? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which world is Imam Hussain talking about here? The world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created? No. What your eyes can see? No. What your eyes can see are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the place by which the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take heed and guidance to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, a flower, a bee can change a human being's life. That a bee can be revealed all that is required for that product to be made that has shafa for all diseases. The slaves that people are of this world is the world they created, and I created, and you created, that exists inside. We're slaves of that. We're slaves of greed. We are slaves of arrogance. We are slaves of jealousy. We are slaves of transgression. We are slaves to all of that. And the religion, you can read the English here, and the religion is actually like a chewing gum in their mouth. Ad-deenu la'aykun ala al-sinatihim. Religion is suspended in their mouths. It's on the tip of their tongue. What do you do with a chewing gum? Jay? Tell me, what do you do with the chewing gum? You chew on it. There is a flavor that a chewing gum has. As long as you're getting that flavor, what do you do? Say it with me. What do? You chew it. You keep it in your mouth. When the flavor is gone, what do? You throw it out. And that's what the next sentence says. As long as they have comfortable lives, as long as they are getting the benefit from religion for their lives, they have the religion in their mouth. Subhanallah, 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 Allah, Allah. As soon as they are tried for difficulty and hardships, they throw it out. And then afterwards, qallad dayanun. Very few are remained as religious. So people said la ilaha illallah, but they were slaves of their dunya that they built inside. Shimr was a slave of greed, of jealousy, and of arrogance. The god of Shimr was not Allah. He used to say la ilaha illallah, but the god of Shimr, may the curse of Allah be upon him, His god was greed, his god was jealousy, his god was arrogance. And he submitted to that god to the point where he took the knife and cut the head of the grandson of the Prophet. Knowingly. That those people who used to sit down on the minbar of the Holy Prophet used the minbar knowingly. You have to understand, they were not ignorant about it. That they did not know, they knew. They stood against the Holy Prophet while he was alive. When he passed away, they stood against the representative of the Holy Prophet. And after that, they stood against every representative of the Holy Prophet, which is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Against them, why? Because they did not want to submit to the will of Allah. They wanted to submit to the will of jealousy, arrogance, and greed. And for them, everything was allowed then. Their namaz, their roza, their fast, their hajj had no benefit for them. They could not realize that this straight path is a path of those individuals whose God is Allah. If on this straight path the person's Lord and who he submits to is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is only two other ways. Maghdubi alayhim, ya waladdalin. There's only two ways left. Either they're going to be under the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're going to be the ones who have gone astray. There's no fourth condition. Imam Hussain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized the people are submitting to the love of the dunya that they created for themselves inside, and they needed to be woken up so they realize what is the reality, the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they needed to submit to. To wake them up, he performed the greatest of all sacrifices for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that sacrifice was so great that it woke people up. It has been waking up people till now. Then in the majlis of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people become hur. Mr. Maulana, he said that I went to the majlis and there were two people that were talking. These two people that were talking, he didn't wear the abakaba, and so they didn't realize it's Maulana, but they were talking. This person said that last year in Muharram, in one of the majlises, I changed. And what has happened to me now is that in the whole year that has gone by, because Muharram is the start of a new year, Islamic calendar, is that the whole year that has gone by, I had 14 years of qaza namazes, I have been able to perform them in that one year. I had fast for 11 or 12 years, I have been able to manage that. The only month that I was not taking care of my previous fast was the month of my Ramadan. The whole year he fasted. He made his affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct. What? In majlis of Imam Hussain, he changed. How many of us are going to change? We can recite aloud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know how when you guys recite a lower salawat, you know what the next thing is going to be, right? So why don't you just, in the beginning, just recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this is the one of the points that we connected with the rest of the points that we had mentioned for the last 9 or 10 hours. When you know, in the children, when they do the coloring, they have this book that has just the dots and they have to connect them, and once they start connecting, the whole picture comes about. So what we've been doing in the last 8 or 9 days that I've been talking to you, I've been just making those dots, and we're trying to connect the lines. Okay, Tawheed, we mentioned to you that there's different versions of it that are available in the market. You can buy the Tawheed of Christianity, you can buy the Tawheed of Judaism, you can buy the Tawheed of Hinduism, you can buy the Tawheed of Sikhism, you can buy even the Tawheed of Scientologists. Because what they will say is that science is our Lord, and there's only one. Only one that is science is our Lord. Even you can buy the Tawheed of an atheist. Okay, Baba, the atheists, they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, they deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are opening their churches. Okay, isn't it strange? Like, if you're going to go to a church and you happen to be an atheist, whose worship are you doing? So whoever's worship you're doing in that church is your God. So now you're no longer an atheist. From in front of whoever you are going to submit to, understand, love and obey and shape and form your life around it, that is your God. There is no human being on the face of this earth that is godless. Being an atheist is actually like an oxymoron or something. Nobody is an atheist. Everyone has a God. And a lot of people have gods. The definition of a God is whoever is the nucleus of your life, that your life revolves around, your thoughts revolves around, your emotion revolves around, your actions revolves around, your love revolves around. Anything, anyone, anything that is that nucleus, that is your Lord. With me? Just by saying from the tongue, La ilaha illallah, does it mean that your God is Allah? Your God is whomever that you've created in your mind, that is the nucleus of your life. And that every human being has done. You go through the Quran, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about people that have made their lowly desires. He says, do you not see of people who have made their lowly desires as their gods? What are the lowly desires? So for example, eating without having to sustain your life, eating like just for the sake of eating. Mujhe biryani bahut pasand hai. Yani biryani ke baghair main khana nahi kha sakta. Biryani nahi hogi to main khana nahi khaun. Chale wo. If I don't get biryani, I'm not going to have it. If this biryani is not on the table, I'm not going to eat. Or some people, haath ki roti nahi hogi to main khana nahi khaunga. Like if the wife is not going to go and, you know, slave herself over the hot stove after she's worked all day to make that bread and serve it to the husband, it's like, I don't want to eat. Now that haath ki bani roti, that bread made by hand, is your God. Aap insaan roti ka gulam hai, roti ka abd hai. Because his nafs, his willpower is not strong enough not to submit to that lowly desire of that pleasure of handmade roti. Now the roti is your God. To go through, look through our lives. How many lowly desires have become our gods? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, why do you not look? If you're going to go back to your house, because you've already gone like 10 miles, and you feel incomplete because you left your phone at home, okay, that is your God. Because now you feel incomplete, now you feel as if something is wrong. Now you feel there is a certain uncomfortableness inside of you. You feel that, as if the phone is not there, something is going to go wrong. So when the azan is being recited, you do not have any of those feelings. You're not muted. Or you live 5 minutes away from this masjid, but you do not show up for prayers. But if you left your phone at home, you will go back 10 miles just to pick it up. Well, you know that 5 to 10 minutes away, you are here and namaz is being upheld at its proper time. But we're not concerned about that. We do not want to take that 5 minutes drive. It's too hard. What about going back for your phone? Is that not hard? What about driving for 2 hours to get to your work? Stuck in traffic. Who is your Lord? Who is my Lord? Who is the God that I submit to? Is it the creator of this universe or it is the creation of mine? That is what has been wrong at the time of Imam Hussein, and that is what is wrong in our time. If our Lord becomes Allah, all of our problems are solved and Imam of the time will be here. And we do not need all. As many people do we have in this particular Husseiniyah? That is the amount of people we need. We don't need everybody. We just need a few. We just need a few who will let go of these gods and they will only submit to that one God. And we've been asked to do that for 1347 years. And we don't do it. We don't do it. You will see that after the 10 days are over, in 2 more days, on the 11th of Muharram or the 12th of Muharram, whatever the case happens to be, now that day maybe you guys will show up because there's a rock star coming. Maybe you will come. Of those individuals who recite Nohas in the way the songs are recited, we have the dhun of their Nohas set on the instruments, who will create their CDs and distribute it as if it was a CD of a song. Of the people that listen to those Nohas and they are doing driving and they are doing all of their housework, but they are not having a single tear in their eye, just so that they can fill the time that is, you know, empty. The people who want the protocol of a celebrity, that there should be a limousine, there should be a 5-star hotel, there should be this, there should be that. The people whose looks, our sisters will say, is a good looking, then price goes up. Is that the azah of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we have brought it down to? That it becomes an industry? That where the reciter is sitting on the minbar is a professional taking money from you? and you're giving money to that professional that is unimaginable in any profession. $20,000 a night, $10,000 a night, just to recite what? The Masaib of Imam Hussein? To have a crowd of 400 and 500,000 people show up. But if there's a scholar who wants to give you knowledge, 15 people, 20 people. Where are we? Who is our God? Is it truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it our lowly desires and we have put the libas, the chadar of Islam? That we still want to listen to music, but because we cannot listen to music anymore because we've become religious, we want to supplement that, we want to fill that void with something by putting that is actually same sort of tone as the music, but put a libada, a chadur of mutaqaddus of Islam on top of it. So that it is justifiable for us. We follow people who have, you know, a minimum amount of information. They come up and they sit down on the place, on this place, on this place. Not on one or this, on this place. This is the place of a ma'asum. This is the place where infallible sits down. This is the member of the Holy Prophet. Anyone who wants to sit down on this minbar has to sit down in a way that this is not enjoyable. This is something which I'm doing because the Imam of the time is not there, because it is a requirement that I need to sit down. And those individuals who have spent 40 to 60 years of their lives, they still do not consider themselves worthy to sit on this minbar. They will sit down on the steps. They will sit down on these steps. They will say, we are at the place of the feet of the Prophet. We cannot sit down at the place of the Prophet. Yet we have individuals who have no knowledge. Their character is closer to the character of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Their hearts are filled with the love of this world. They are raking money, putting in their pockets from the azah of Imam Hussein, selling the blood of Imam Hussein, and we let them sit down on this place of the Qaddus, of a place where the Prophet sit down. And we're okay with that. It doesn't bother us. But you will see. And once these 10 days are over, after when you get into this, what I've been told is that maybe 10, 15 people are here. When the greatest of difficulties is about to start, when Imam Zaman al-Sat-Uslam was asked in a dream that a person, the scholar had, Imam was asked, I have heard that you cry tears of blood. Is that true? He said, yes. He said, was it the martyrdom of Imam Hussein al-Sat-Uslam? He said, no. Martyrdom of Hazrat Ali Akbar, no. Martyrdom of Hazrat Abbas, no. Martyrdom of Hazrat Ali Asghar, no. Then, Mawla, for whom do you cry the tears of blood? He says, Asham, Asham, Asham. When the Imam of the time is crying the blood of tears, we are in our homes, comfortable homes, we do not want to walk with the kafira, with the prisoners, with the bizanab, with the daughters of the prophets. We do not want to walk with those little kids who were dropped from the camels and the mother saw them in the desert where they knew they could not survive an hour. And we consider ourselves the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the lovers of Bibi Zainab. When you leave her, where is your love? We become the same. We have a funeral, there is a person, we go bury that person, and then we go back to our normal lives as if nothing has happened. This person you're going to bury on the 10th did not get a proper burial. His family members were taken prisoners. They were made prisoners. His son was put in shackles. His son was hit on the back with whips. His son had A bracelet of iron that had nails sticking inside. He had a necklace of iron made specially for him with nails sticking inside. When in the heat of Karbala, in the heat of Sham and Kufa, this metal would get hot, this iron would get hot. These nails would make impressions in his neck that never went away. The Azhar of Imam Hussein is Mus'hab al-Muqqad. It's the most recommended. And if the honor of the majlis is not being upheld by a city, then it becomes wajib kafai for that city to have that many people that the honor of the majlis is intact. If a person from another mazhab walks in and he sees that the majlis is being recited and there's only 15 people while there are 200 or 400 houses, on the Day of Judgment, everybody who stayed home will be asked on the Day of Judgment, why did you not protect the honor of the majlis? It was wajib kafai. It doesn't say Mus'hab al-Muqtad anymore. It doesn't say recommended anymore. It becomes wajib on the community. If a group of people do it, then the rest can stay at home. It's the same thing when you have a funeral, that a person comes, gives the ghusl to that individual, does the kafan and dafan, then you are not responsible on the Day of Judgment. But if nobody does that, every single person will be standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have to answer it. And you will see that. That to listen to somebody to come and take the stage and make our hearts, you know, sort of like soft, and for us to enjoy the voice that he's saying, we will come in numbers. But when it comes to give fursa to Bibi Zainab, where the difficulties of Ahlul Bayt start, where are we? What has become of us? Our hearts have given, our minds have given up, our emotions have given up. We're submitting to something that we should not submit to. Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Ali Asghar, Hazrat Qasim. You know what all of their worries were? You know what they worried about? They were not worried about going to the battlefield and get martyred. They had no worries about that. As the Qasim said, that it is sweeter for me than honey. Why would a person who says that it's sweeter than honey would go to the battlefield worried? He wasn't worried. Hazrat Ali Akbar was not worried. Imam Hussain was not worried. Hazrat Abbas was not worried. About martyrdom, they were not worried. Hazrat Qasim says, and then he goes again, he said, death to me is that necklace that a bride wears, and it is there for its beauty. Martyrdom for me is going to beautify me. It's going to give me elevation in my levels, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going for that success. Why would they be worried? They were worried what will happen after they have been martyred. When people did not know if Imam Hussein is alive or not, they said, if you want to find out if Hussein is alive or not, get these horses to go towards the tents, you will find out. That body that did not have any room for arrows and for wounds, that was lying on the sands of Karbala, when Imam Hussein heard the horses going towards the tents, towards the daughters of the Prophet, his body moved. His body moved. Every time he would go, he would fight, he would come back, and he would recite something. He would say Allahu Akbar, he would recite some zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Bibi Zainab can hear that Hussein is still alive. The Sakina can still hear that my Baba is still alive. And after that happened, you know, all day He was lifting the bodies. From morning, he was lifting the bodies. Imagine a person who was thirsty for 3 days. Who had to go and fight. And when you see blood, your heart sinks. You feel nauseated. You feel as if you're going to fall down, you're going to faint. Your strength is taken away from that sight. Yes? Your strength is taken away from that sight. Try to imagine how, what strength was left in Imam Hussein's body when he had seen the dead, the mutilated body. The mutilated body of Hazrat Qasim. How did he feel? The body that was filled with wounds. The body on whose head was the opening of the mark of a sword. And this head did not belong to a grown man. This head belonged to a 12 or 13 year old child. What strength is left? Imagine seeing the arm severed of Hazrat Abbas. Arms lying on the sands of Karbala, picking them up. What strength would be left in Imam Hussein when that kind of scene is in front of him? His heart would sink. His body would shake. His worried mind. The dress that he had on, the clothes that he had on, somewhere was the blood of Hazrat Qasim, somewhere was the blood of Hazrat Abbas, somewhere was the blood of Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, of Hazrat Hur. His whole dress was bloodied. Do you know that? And this dress was made into a dress that had holes that you could not tell whether this is a dress anymore. And the Imam of the time has that. He's been looking at it for the last 1200 years. He looks at that dress somewhere. This is the blood of Ali Akbar. This is the blood of Qasim. This is the blood of Habib. He has this kurta, he has this dress in front of him. There's a, when he would find close to Imam Hussein's lap, this is the blood of Hazrat Abbas when he had his head on his lap. This might be the blood of Ali Asghar. When all of this was done, he asked, "Is there anyone who will help me?" In the tent where Hazrat Ali Asghar was, he enters, he sees a 6 months baby, 3 days thirsty, hardly able to move, not have enough strength to even cry. You don't understand when the body gets dehydrated how it feels. You only feel that for one day in a comfortable home. In a comfortable home, you do not know the heat of that desert. If the electricity goes for 2 hours or 4 hours, where you are from, people, they go mad, they go crazy with heat. They cannot bear it. This was a desert. A 6 month baby, they didn't have enough strength to cry anymore. Had fallen out of the crib, hearing the call of Imam Hussain. Her lips were cut. The skin was cut. Imam Hussain takes us to Ali Asghar. A father going now and pleading for water for a 6 month baby. Or you can look at it the other way. Imam of the time giving the opportunity to those people who are his enemies for another chance. When Imam takes Hazrat Ali Asghar in front of these enemies, and the enemies, they see this child with the condition that Hazrat Ali Asghar had, that when he had taken his tongue out, was blistered. A blistered tongue, a body that is hardly moving, a baby that's dehydrated. That his chest is moving very slowly, it's hard to breathe with a throat that is dry. When these people, they see this scene, they start crying. And these people who had the heart of stones, they started crying. Things were changing. People were starting to realize, what are we doing in this battlefield? We killed the family of the Prophet for what? This oppression we've done, this tyranny we've done for what? Is the government is having all of this money, all of this, is it worth it? This is a 6 month baby, look at the condition. And they started to cry. And the enemy told, silence the tongue of Hussain. Silence his tongue. Khurmala was asked to silence the tongue of Imam Hussain. With an arrow with three heads that was used to kill camels. Was prepared for a 6 month baby. And the mother is watching. Our mothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save your kids. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your kids. A mother to see that, it's not fair. And the arrows in the air, that an arrow has been shot, the arrow is in the air, and all of a sudden Imam Hussain feels that arrow in his arm. But with this arrow, when he sees, when he puts his head down, what does he see? He was surprised that this Ali Asghar, who was not moving before, this Ali Asghar, who had no movement in his body, whose neck was tilted, whose breaths were very slow, that all of a sudden this Ali Asghar is moving now. This Ali Asghar is moving now. Why? Because his neck was before the arm of Imam Hussain. With that cut neck, the blood starts coming out. It starts getting collected in the hands of Imam Hussain. Imam Hussain standing there with his baby, he was 6 months old, who he had brought for some water, for him to give the chance to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save themselves. Here is this baby whose neck is now bleeding. This dehydrated body is giving the last of the liquids it has. And Imam Hussain is not, he doesn't know, where should I put this blood? Should I let it go on the earth? Should I let it go in the sky? Earth is saying, I cannot bear this. I cannot bear the burden of this blood. The sky is saying, I cannot bear the burden of this blood. There was only one place this blood could go that could hold the burden of this blood. That was the face of Imam Hussein. That was the beard of Imam Hussein. He was the only one who had the strength. Imam Zaman says, I said, may the peace of Allah be upon you, O Hussein, whose beard was made red with the blood of Ali Asghar. What to do now? What to do now? How can I take this body to the mother? What should I do? Imam goes, friend, then he comes back. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un bidambi qada'ihi wa taslim al-amri. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un bidambi qada'ihi wa taslim al-amri. We are from Allah, to Him is our return. I am submissive to your will. I'm submitting to your will. I'm agreement with your destiny. He goes back, he goes front, he comes back, he goes front, he comes back. He will perform that action on the 10th in the Amal. When you are walking forward and coming back 7 times, how can a father take the body of this child? What would the mother say? What would the mother say? What would any mother say? Why? What did my child do? What was the sin of my child? What was the crime of my child? It was water. How much water would a 6 months baby take? Half a glass. While water was fed to the animals, a 6 months baby, how much water would he have taken? This much. And now I tell you, the saddest funeral in the world. Here's the father and here's the mother. You know, when the son or daughter loses their parents, they say, yes, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with these parents. They happen to be 60, 80 years old. Everyone, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, everyone has to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they keep condoling, having patience to their heart. The other people, they come and say, it's okay, you know, he was old, he was sick, he had to go. It's okay, just be patient, submit to the will of Allah, it's okay. But imagine a 6 month baby. How would you console the parents of a 6 month baby who had not committed any crime? Who was the son of the Prophet, who had the bloodline of the Prophet, who was made thirsty, who was his neck was cut? How could you console those parents? Imam Hussain digs a small grave for Hazrat Ali Asghar, puts him in there. When they were collecting the bodies, when they were finding out, collecting the bodies so that they can sever the heads. You know, my youngsters don't cry anymore because their hearts have been hardened. You take their toys away, they'll cry. You take their iPad, their phone away, they'll cry. You know the other reason why they don't cry? It's because they haven't felt the love of an uncle or an aunt or a grandfather or a grandmother. They haven't felt the love even sometimes of their own parents. My brothers, if you can't cry, just being sad about this tragedy is a requirement. We're talking about Imam Hussein and his 6 months baby. The respect is such that at least you can be saddened by it. This is not a tale, this is not a story. It happened in Karbala. It actually happened. When they were turning up the bodies to sever the heads off, to put it on spears, they come to a point, they said, there was a body of a 6 months baby, we can't seem to find it. We can't seem to find that body. Because our Yasnar had made an impression on their hearts. Everybody remembered there was a 6 months baby that Imam Hussain had brought in the end. You know what they did? They took a spear and started hitting that spear in the sands of Karbala. I cannot say after this. And don't imagine it either. Don't try to imagine it because it's unimaginable. It's unimaginable for a human mind of what happened next. Oh Allah. For the sake of this baby, Imam Hussain sacrifice for your love, for your religion, to save your tawheed. Oh Allah, give my brothers and sisters and my elders enough courage to always stand with justice, and if there's unfairness, to always be against that. Oh Allah, give them the opportunity and give me the opportunity to purify the information that you've given to us through the means of the prophets and their representatives. Allah, give us the opportunity for us to follow your laws, for us to submit only to your will and not to our own will. Allah, the Imam of the time who is waiting to take revenge for the blood of Imam Hussain, the family of the Prophet, oh Allah, keep him in your safety, protect him wherever he happens to be. Give patience and comfort to his heart in these hard times. Give us the opportunity to become his followers, his friends, and that one day we can stand with him and submit to your will together to bring about the promise that you have promised. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim al-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ